Welcome to the Love and Longevity Podcast, where we have conversations about love, from relationships and friendships all the way to aging, care for your parents or your grandparents, and tips and tools for living your best life as long as you can. I'm your host, Christian Ross, founder and chief happiness officer at Happy Talks. Every episode, we want to provide actionable insights for you. So I'm so excited for our next guest. We have Nurse Lillian. We will not be calling for that through the whole episode, but we have to start there.
Right.
How are you today?
I'm good. How about you? Glad to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad for this conversation because you have such an incredibly diverse nursing career.
Absolutely.
Can you take us through what that's looked like?
Yeah. So sometimes when I talk about it, it just seems crazy. I'm like, where did the time go? How did I have time to do all these things? I started off as a nurse on the floor. I have been in every role that you can possibly think of, from a nurse on the floor to a nurse manager, a unit manager, an assistant director of nursing, a director of nursing, a regional nurse. And I specialize in geriatric health and wellness.
So it's perfect because you are helping our older adults in nursing. So you have the front line to them when
Absolutely. When
things are going on. What do you see as some of the biggest challenges for older adults right now?
Specializing in senior care or the care of aging adults, those 65 and older, has been a huge passion of mine. And I've really seen throughout the years, the challenges that we're actually facing every day, even still today. Mm-hmm. So pre-pandemic, there was a huge staffing shortage. Post-pandemic, now that everything is back open and we're back to life, there seems to be an even greater staffing challenge and staffing shortage. And it's really affecting the care delivery. Ultimately, the care delivery has declined drastically. And then ultimately is driving up the cost as well for senior care operators. So it's just a recipe for challenges, and it's a recipe for the decline of care and services for aging adults, unfortunately.
Oh, gosh. It's like what I knew, but also didn't want to actually hear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when I think about just ways that, you know, a lot of times families are thrust into care situations.
Absolutely.
It's like, oh, all of a sudden mom got diagnosed with this, or now, you know, something happened and she's now going to have like 23 appointments over the next 3 months.
Right.
What are some tips and advice that you give to families?
I would love to just tell families that they should really strive to take a proactive approach. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, hopefully, we all age well in a space of staying healthy mentally, physically, in every aspect. But unfortunately, it's very common to see a decline in mobility, sometimes a decline in cognition. Health systems fail. The body is a living thing. And so depending on how well you take care of your body, your health and wellness approach while you're younger, sometimes that can definitely affect you as you age. So if I could give families a tip, I would just really suggest taking a proactive approach as early as possible. A lot of times it's a really uncomfortable conversation and life is so busy. There's so much going on. There's just always something going on. But I really believe that if I could give one big tip, it would be to go ahead and prioritize a family meeting, a conversation about care planning, decisions that need to be made if the situation ever arises. If it ever gets to a point where mobility declines, if it ever gets to a point where cognition declines, if it ever gets to a point where this beautiful home that they live in, that their master bedroom is on the second floor up 17 steps, and there is nowhere downstairs that you can do a transition, what will we do?
Yep.
What will that look like? Who will assist? And if they can take a proactive approach and look at those things early on while the individual can participate in what their needs and what their requests will be, that is the best time to do it. Don't wait until the need is actually there, but be proactive.
And I think with that, you know, when we think about, again, those actionable insights of things that you can do to be proactive, that's making sure that you have that health directive.
Absolutely.
Health directive that's saying, hey, if something happens to me, I go to the hospital, or hey, if my cognition declines, like, notate all of those things in that health directive.
Yeah.
Get with the elder care attorney
and start talking about those power of attorneys, the trust, all of those different things, because the last thing you want to do, just like you said, is be thrust into the situation. Yeah. And then you go to Google, and Google is a hot mess, y'all.
Yeah, Google is not a nowhere. It is not the resource. It's never been deemed the resource. Absolutely. And so often people love to just run to Google because it's the quickest, easiest thing. It's right in the palm of our hands. But your individualized profile is not established on Google.
Right. There's no context to it.
Absolutely.
There's no context. And care is very different.
Right.
If you're in Florida and you're in Iowa, care is very different. Just the populations alone and the care services, they are just different.
Absolutely. And we started off talking about my background. I'm actually multi-state licensed. I actually became a nurse in Ohio, and I've served and provided services in multiple states across the country. And you are 100% correct. Care is different from state to state. Resources are different from state to state. And one thing to definitely consider is when I talk about taking a proactive approach, I want families to understand that they can start learning now what services and resources are available to them. Mm-hmm. They can learn about the different industries, learn about senior living, learn about independent senior housing, for example. They can learn about home care. They can learn about assisted living, nursing homes, skilled nursing and rehab. They can learn about just staying at home with private caregivers and home care services coming in. They can start learning about those things now. They don't actually have to need the service to start learning now.
Yeah.
One big thing that we're talking about amongst ourselves and looking at is support groups. Mm-hmm. They can go to support groups now and start learning from actual industry experts about the different services and options that are available to them. Mm-hmm. So they really should take a proactive approach and invest the time to just start learning for themselves and for their loved ones. Look at what those different options might cost. That's a huge factor.
Oh, that's a huge factor.
Absolutely. And with the demand and struggles as far as the healthcare for the caregivers, the shortages and things like that, the challenges, the cost of healthcare is actually rising. We all know that. And so they can actually take a look now and start getting an idea of what these different services cost currently, what they may cost in the future. Do they have long-term care insurance? What options do they have when it comes to paying for those services? They can start taking a look at that now, just taking a proactive approach.
I'm so glad you said this too, because I think a lot of times too, in certain communities, the thought about care just honestly isn't there.
Right.
And it's not the thought of, I don't think I'm going to get old or anything like that. It's just, okay, I'm going to deal with it when it comes. Mm-hmm. Or I own my house, so I'm fine, which is great. And that's why there's a lot of aging in place. You know, there are actually people who will come in and put those grab bars and put those
Absolutely.
Things to make sure, because falls.
To customize the home for them.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we're definitely going to delve into falls.
Yeah.
But people do not understand how falls are so detrimental.
Absolutely.
They are so detrimental. So to make sure that the space that you are living in, that you can properly just live in it.
Absolutely.
And be safe in your home is so important.
Right. And different services, I know that you work with some of those services, and I'm very familiar with them as well, can come in and install certain safety tools and resources in your home so that you can stay in your home and live in your home. Mm-hmm. And even with those resources, you sometimes will still need a private caregiver or a family member who can come in and still assist you with certain basics in order to still maintain your home. Sometimes those things are extra support is still necessary. But that is why I like to always look at a scenario in the worst case scenario and then kind of work my way back.
Yeah.
Because you just don't know. And hopefully you'll never have to use those worst case scenarios. But if you have to, one thing I would really also love to stress is that it takes a village. It takes a village. And so if you are a only child or if you don't have any siblings, maybe your spouse is going to join the caretaking team for your adult loved one. Maybe that's the plan. Maybe your spouse will help. Maybe a family friend, maybe a cousin. Or do we have the funds, as I mentioned, to hire maybe a private companion to come in and assist as well? Because assisted living, home care, senior living, those are all options. But if you really want your loved one to stay in the home, And if they really want to stay in their home, then definitely looking at it, okay, who is going to be a part of this care team?
Yeah.
Maybe you go visit once a week and I go visit once a week and we all work together to help that individual stay in their home.
I love that because I think, again, just like you said, mm-hmm. we are so busy.
Yeah.
And these fabulous little phones, as mm-hmm. much as they keep us connected,
right.
they also keep us quite distracted.
Absolutely.
They keep us distracted. Mm-hmm. They keep us engaged. And they're doing their job.
Right.
They're doing their job quite well.
That's funny.
But when I think about just the fact of, like you said, taking that time mm-hmm. of, you know, hey, Cousin Shirley, you go here. Cousin Jennifer, like, you take this week. I take that week.
Right.
Like, you really, when you start, you have Thanksgiving, you have the holidays, you have Easter, whatever time period is, take the time to really look at the older adults in your life.
Mm-hmm.
See the changes from last year.
Yeah.
And notate them. Use your phone and notate them. Have it digitally.
That's a great recommendation. And start a family group chat also.
Right.
Start a family group chat. Depending on how receptive the older adult is, they can be a part of that group chat. You might have to have one separate from them.
Yeah.
It just depends on what space they're in.
Yeah.
So there are so many things that we can do in advance, but oftentimes life is so busy, we look at the hottest fires and we deal with those things
right.
first, and we're thinking, okay, that day won't come, but sometimes it really creeps up on you.
Yeah.
And then when it comes, you're scrambling. You can also consider hiring a nurse to help navigate the care of your aging loved one, or even to help you with the planning.
I never knew that.
Absolutely. I help families all the time. And there are other nurses as well who help with that care navigation and who help with case management and care management.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do that in advance and just get educated on the options that are available. And like I said, I brought up support groups. Support groups that are being held by experienced nurses are mm-hmm. great opportunities. There are so many things you can do. And I would definitely recommend that you start going to appointments, doctor's appointments, if possible. Start going to those primary care physician appointments with your aging loved one, just to see, make sure that when they're going to those appointments, they're being truthful with their providers. They're not hiding anything.
Yes.
Because unfortunately, sometimes they feel like if they tell their provider certain things, maybe they might try to restrict them or, you know, take away certain privileges, like maybe their driving privileges and things like that. So it's really good to carve out that time to go to those appointments with them.
Which is actually brings me to a funny story. So my good pal Vance, he just hit 60.
Okay.
His dad is, I want to say 87 or 88.
Okay. Yeah.
So he was out visiting his dad. Going to a doctor's appointment,
mm-hmm.
his dad slipped him the okie doke, said, hey, can you get this from the room? And left to go to the doctor's appointment.
Wow.
And left him. So now he has no idea what happened at the doctor's appointment. He flew out there to make sure he was at the doctor's appointment.
Wow.
Like, he was just going out to make sure, you know, how all of his care was.
Yeah.
But specifically, great, I'll be on this appointment.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad slipped him the okie doke. I was like, man, 87 is still just, just scandalous.
Absolutely. There may be some information that definitely that he was trying to maybe keep away from his son.
Yes.
If that happened to me, for example, or a client I was supporting, I would tell him he really needs to have a real heart-to-heart with his dad and help his dad understand that, hey, Dad, I want you to maintain your independence as long as possible.
Yeah.
My goal is not to take anything from you, but just to help you maintain your independence.
Yes.
So there are some proactive things we can do, but I have to know what's going on first and foremost. That's very funny. But that oftentimes a lot is hidden from the adult influencer or the adult child.
Yeah.
A lot of information is hidden, or if they don't really make it their obligation to be involved, then they'll find out that things have spiraled out of control. And then surprise, now it's time to make some decisions. And they didn't get that time to be proactive and prepare for it. So really being involved, actually visiting, seeing how they live, making sure they're able to manage the household,
mm-hmm.
making sure that their ambulation, just a visual inspection. Is mom walking well? Is dad able to engage in deep conversation? Is mm-hmm. he forgetting? And then any of those things, any challenges that they notice, they definitely should report those challenges to the primary care physician as soon as possible, or any nurse manager working with them, so that you can get interventions on board as soon as possible. The intervention really helps with optimal health and wellness. But it really takes that early intervention. And sometimes just asking how you're doing is not enough.
Right.
That because anybody can say, oh, I'm doing great.
I'm great. Well, I'm good. Yeah.
Ask specific questions. Are you eating? How's your appetite? Mm-hmm. That's a huge one. How's your appetite? Mm-hmm. What about your medication? What's the plan for their medication? Most older adults take multiple medications or at least a couple medications.
Yeah.
And so when you're there, check on how their medications are going. Look at their pill bottles. Was that pill bottle filled in June and now it's January? And
oh
you're
my
looking
gosh.
Like, why was this filled in June? This is something you're supposed to take twice a day, every day. It's still full. So you haven't been taking your heart medication. So there's so much that the adult influencer can do to help their aging loved one.
See, and I appreciate that too, because oftentimes, you know, people, they don't want to step on their parents' toes.
Absolutely.
They're like, look, that's their business. Mm-hmm. I don't want to. But the reality is, no matter what, as your parents are aging, you have to make it your business.
Yes, you do. And you just have to make sure you communicate to them that this is just all about love. This is just all about me supporting you like you supported me when I was growing up, when I was a child, things like that.
She just gave you all script, y'all.
She
just gave a script.
Absolutely, absolutely. And sometimes their decision-making abilities decline as they age, as you know, and sometimes that's with all of us. It just depends. But there is just sending them reminders about certain things and maybe even an article. So it doesn't come directly from you, but you were reading an article and you thought they might be interested in that article. So you could share that article with them or even a podcast, right?
Right.
You can share an episode with them. It depends on how tech savvy they are and things like that. And then also, too, I would love to just say Happy Talks has a great feature where there is communication, where the family member ultimately can get some feedback about the conversation and get an idea of different things that their loved one might be, just on their mind.
Yeah.
Of course, there's always a level of privacy that will be maintained, but you have to just show involvement. You have to let them know it comes from a place of love. They want to see the involvement. I was with a 91-year-old young lady today, and she expressed to me that she would love to see more involvement from her adult sons. Mm. She expressed that she knows they're really busy and they're going to come. One of her sons is going to come bearing a lot of gifts for Christmas and give her a nice sweater and blanket and all that. And she loves those things, but she really loves the involvement. They really do love the involvement.
Yeah. And the whole thing is, too, it just shows a different level of care.
Absolutely.
It's like, you know, it's one thing I think about just with family, or even a friend, if you're like, hey, oh, I'm so happy for your event.
Mm-hmm.
But it's another thing when you attend. It's another thing when you sponsor. It's another thing when you do, like, there's just different levels of engagement and support, and your loved one feels that.
Yeah. I mean, words are great, but the actions really speak louder than words. We've heard that saying a million times, but the actions really do speak louder than words. And if your aging loved one is already at a point where they're entering or they are at a senior care community, definitely make it your obligation to show up from time to time. Mm-hmm. And even if you can't show up, we talked about the village, maybe a loved one, a church member, someone visiting, someone showing up, showing support so that they understand that this person has support. This person is loved by many.
Right.
It's very important.
Hi, I'm Christian Ross, founder and chief happiness officer of Happy Talks, where we provide social phone calls for older adults. So while you're thinking about the care of your loved one, remember, connection is key to optimal health, and we would love to partner with you. Go ahead and visit www.happytalks.com. I heard a statistic a few months ago where they said 88%. Of residents in skilled nursing facilities do not have visitors.
Absolutely. It's very, very, very tragic.
88%.
Yeah. It's been like that for many, many years, even pre-COVID. COVID really enhanced the isolation. And, you know, obviously we had to isolate and everything that went along with that. But it is really unfortunate. And sometimes the staff at the communities become like family members to those older adults because their family doesn't really visit for one reason or another. But I would say right now, because there's a lot of agency usage in the communities, there's a lot of, and those agency individuals, they have a heart for caring, but they're not as committed to the communities and to the facilities or communities, depending on where your loved one is. They're not as committed because maybe they're just there for that day or for a couple days, and then they're bouncing to the next community.
Okay.
So that relationship, that bond of really becoming like family, and I don't want to say falling in love, but having a deep regard for the person that you're caring for, it doesn't happen as much as it happened many years ago.
Yeah.
Because you have so many supplemental, so many agency staff filling the workload at the communities, because there has been such a decline in people entering the care workforce. And also there has been such a exodus of people leaving the care workforce. So it's just right now, it's just a very important time to be involved intentionally.
Yeah.
Make that a part of your schedule, block that in, that you're going to go see your aging loved one, or have someone, or have a call, have Happy Talks call them a couple times a week. Yeah. Happy Talks can call an individual no matter what setting they're in.
Yeah.
Make sure Happy Talks gives them a call and can give you updates if you don't have that time to invest, or if that call is going to cause them to be a little sad talking to you directly, you can supplement that with Happy Talk services also.
I appreciate that, because that's exactly what we're there for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it makes me think of when you said about care and the numbers. Mm-hmm. It makes me think of just in 7 years, in mm-hmm. 7 short years, we are going to be in the midst of a major demographic shift. Absolutely. Where the 65 plus and over population will outnumber the 18 and under population for the first time in history.
Absolutely.
So when we talk about how we are going to advertise to people, how we are going to just relate to people, mm-hmm. market, whatever, like that demographic is about to be so massive.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. A change is coming.
Yeah.
And in the industry, we've been definitely now for at least the last 10 plus years, we've known that this change was coming. We've known that the boomers are coming. We know that it's going to be a massive shift.
Yeah.
And so now is really the time. Senior care operators are really scrambling and trying very hard to create a desire to come back into the industry. But because there are many other factors in the economy and so many things, there are so many reasons now where supplemental services, whether that is an agency or a service such as Happy Talks or a home care agency, where we really need them to step up and all the different entities to step up and really help right now, because the actual caregiver and nursing need is huge, and there is just not, the need is not being filled right now, unfortunately.
And I hope too, I don't know if it's Medicare or Medicaid, mm-hmm. I think it's Medicare, that has it where you can earmark mm-hmm. someone who's caregiving for you and make sure that they can receive payment that's within the hourly rate of the state. But again, that needs to be, all these care options just need to be expanded.
Yeah, they need to be expanded and they need to be explored.
Yes.
That just goes right back to, I cannot stress that enough about just being proactive.
Mm-hmm.
They really need to be explored in advance, because sometimes there are little clauses and little things that you wouldn't even think of that could be disqualifiers also. Mm-hmm. So for example, if an individual has long-term care insurance, maybe they paid into it for many years. Now they're at an age where they need the assistance. In order for their policy to reimburse them for the services that they receive, they must need help with at least two or more activities of daily living to get that reimbursement. And I have seen on various occasions, individuals are actually healthier to where they only need assistance with maybe one or two areas, or they might have dementia. They might have advanced dementia.
Mm.
And so maybe that causes them to not be able to coordinate getting themselves dressed for the day, taking their showers because of safety and things like that. So then their policy might pay out. But it just depends. There are little loopholes. So even you might have a policy, like I said, that you've paid into for many years, but if you don't meet the criteria, then your policy won't reimburse you. And it's the same thing with Medicare and Medicaid. It just depends. So just taking an advanced look and mm-hmm. knowing what to look for, knowing when to reach out and let your insurance know that you've reached a certain stage or your loved one has reached a certain stage to see what options you have. And then also, so knowing when to apply, but also knowing what you have available.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is very ideal right now that you try to use every resource you have available. just to make sure you can maximize the services that you receive.
And another thing to just look at to even start this is areas have AAA agencies, Area Agency on Aging.
Yes.
So look at the AAA, look at your local AAA. Like maybe you want to Google local AAA or if you're, you know, you're in New York, New York AAA. There's so many for different states. So it's not like one, there's just going to be one for the entire state. You're going to have multiple in different places based on populations.
Right.
But that is a great starting place because they have sat there and made sure what organizations work. They're a great resource for you to fan out and start your planning.
Yeah, definitely. And then also your primary care physician, just going back to your primary care physician. Inside their office, they're typically, depending on your provider, they might have PAs, physician assistants. They might have nurse practitioners. It just depends on your provider. But look at the table. Look at the pamphlets that they have. Look at the brochures that they have. Mm. Look at the resources. Just pick those up. Pick those up and read those in your spare time. Keep them on your nightstand before you go to bed and just read over them.
Yeah, or have a little folder that you put all of this stuff is in.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just be curious. Just be curious and be proactive. Those are my recommendations for sure.
And I think one of the things is, too, is that we just have to remember that when we're not being proactive, we actually exude an air of invincibility. We're actually saying, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, avoidance is not a solution.
My mom's not going anywhere. Right. Dad's not going anywhere. That exactly. Avoidance is not a solution.
No, avoidance is not a solution. And ultimately, there has been so many different stories of individuals who maybe were dealing with a pain or a lump or an area, and they avoided even addressing it. And that is more
on a deeper level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then ultimately they avoided it for so many years, and then it turned out to be something that if they would have just stopped and took a proactive approach, maybe it was something that they could have had certain treatments and things like that.
Yeah.
It's a similar scenario with our health and wellness. We just have to be intentional about it every day, making sure we walk, making sure we drink. Our older adults.
Water.
Yes, absolutely. And our older adults really, they're at a very high risk for dehydration.
Yeah.
And they really don't get the hydration that they need because it will cause them to have to get up, move and go to the restroom more often. So they'll avoid drinking and staying hydrated, and they're on the level of dehydration already. And so there are just so many things we can do in our everyday. The tumblers, some type of tumbler or canteen or a nice water cup that keeps their water cold, or if they like it warm, keep whatever. It just depends on their preference. We need to keep that within reach, for example. And we need to encourage them to drink and stay hydrated. We need to encourage them to stay social. We need to encourage them to stay engaged, because the brain, they have to work that muscle. The brain is a muscle. If they just choose to exist, then their quality of life is not going to be optimal. We really have to try to encourage them every day. Even technology. Christmas is always coming. Birthdays are always coming. Mother's Day. Maybe get them something, some type of tool that they can just play around with and help with their brain activity. So there are things we can do to support them on the journey, but we have to have that tough conversation. Yeah. We have to have those tough conversations, and we have to look at what they have available and what the plan would be. Would they have to move in with you? Would they have to move in with their, so what would we do? Would we sell your house, mom, and then we'll maybe add an addition onto our house, or we'll move into another home where two families can live in that home? It just depends on a in-law suite. There are so many things that can be discussed in advance. And the beautiful thing is you may never need to use any of those.
But at least you have it.
And too,
having that plan, just being in the mindset of that plan too, puts you in a place to talk to other people about it.
Absolutely.
Because right now there's over 60 million Americans that are in that sandwich generation.
Yes.
They are taking care of an aging parent and they're taking care of a child.
Absolutely.
And whether that's a child that's, you know, they're just getting potty trained, or they're in college and they're doing their thing. Either way, they're responsible on both sides for that support.
Yes.
And with that, it's so important that these families are always sharing things. So if you know someone who maybe you see the change in their mom mm-hmm. and you're like, hey, have you started your care planning?
Mm-hmm.
You're not being invasive.
Right.
You are literally being helpful, and you never know what health incident you may actually help save them
and
from.
Prevent. Absolutely. It's very true. It just starts with a conversation. And that the understanding that a conversation is necessary and then a conversation. And from there, it blends into developing that strategic plan just in case we have it available. So absolutely.
Okay, so we talked about the phones.
Mm-hmm.
So we get it. We're all distracted.
Mm-hmm.
But make sure you're using your phone to set your appointment reminders.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're putting mom's doctor's appointment on your calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you are following up with that doctor, with her on the phone in 2 weeks mm-hmm. or a week. Put all of these things on your calendar, because if you're like me, if it's not on my calendar,
yeah,
it does not exist.
Yes.
I don't know what you told me, because you didn't send me a calendar invite.
Yeah. And even just putting in on your calendar a quarterly meeting with your mom.
Right.
Just to check on her.
Yep.
Or, you know, dad, how's it going? Are you still participating in maybe your weekly bridge club meeting?
Yeah.
How's your grocery run? Look in their refrigerator. Is the milk expired? Is the food expired?
Yeah.
Just check on them. Don't just go off of what they say, but casually take a deeper look.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And to, you know, for those that don't live local.
Right.
To their loved ones.
Yeah. So for those that don't live local, I recommend definitely considering some type of face-to-face virtual chat.
Yeah.
Whether that's via FaceTime, whether that's via Microsoft Teams, you do need to do a face-to-face chat with them. And maybe you can partner with a cousin who lives close. Like I said, a private hired nurse or home care provider. You definitely need to be visual, and it doesn't have to be, you don't have to actually fly out, but you definitely need to have a visual. And like I said, something as simple as a FaceTime call where they can answer that call would be imperative, I would say.
That's good. And then, you know, if your loved one is in a home, mm-hmm. not in a senior community, but they're in their own personal home, just remember, you can always have an aging in place specialist come in mm-hmm. and kind of give you a report on what that looks like. I've seen the average to be around $300.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they'll come in, they'll assess how your loved one is moving around the home
mm-hmm.
and if there's any places that could be a fall hazard.
Yeah, right. Because falls are... I would say I need to double check that statistic if it's still like in the top three leading causes of death in older adults.
From what I just recently saw, it is.
I was going to say, yeah. I believe it's still in the top three. At one point, it was like the number one, and it might still be like,
wow.
Yeah. So mobility and being able to navigate the home is very important. Proper footwear. Even when you start noticing weakness, when there is a decline in mobility, the ability to transfer, things like that, we definitely need to get with the primary care physician and see if we can get an order for physical therapy services where they can come to your loved one's home and do in-home therapy. They can make suggestions at that time as well. What maybe that area rug needs to be moved or given away to your granddaughter or something like that, because now it's a trip hazard.
Yep.
And a lot of our aging adults, if they have a decline, sometimes they don't want to use their assistive devices because me having a walker makes me look like I'm getting older.
Right.
And so they don't want to use those things. So we need to step in and see what other options are available for them. But getting a therapy referral and mm-hmm. then sending it to a company that can provide a home health company that can send out a physical therapist a couple times a week. Or if they still drive, they can go to outpatient therapy. They don't have to be in a facility or admitted to a facility to receive therapy services.
That's good.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah.
It's so wild because there's just... every conversation I have, my mind webs out.
Yeah.
Because there's just so many things that are impacted.
Yeah. There are so many different resources and so many different directions. And
right.
it's very individualized because mm-hmm. no two individuals need the exact same thing. So,
right.
yeah, you have to take a holistic look at the individual to see what their needs are.
And if for some odd reason. Mm-hmm. You're in your 20s and you're listening to this.
Maybe.
Maybe. This is a good thing for you to know going forward that, like, you're going to need to put on your calendar in 10 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just are. But then at the same time, mm-hmm. for myself, I'm an elder millennial. That's such a ridiculous title they give us. So I'm not one of the younger millennials that are 27. But I think about the fact of, I just recently had a friend who is a younger millennial whose father passed. Mm-hmm. People are having children mm-hmm. later in life.
Right.
So her dad, when he had her, was 55. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now she's 23.
Yeah.
He just passed away.
Yeah.
So the reality is, too, we're starting to see a lot of younger millennial caregivers. Mm-hmm. So this is a great place. If you notice that something is going on with a parent, make sure you just keep coming back to us or contact us, because we want to be a resource.
Right.
But just know that you are never too young to deal with the situation. I've talked to someone who, unfortunately, she started being in a caregiver role at the age of 10.
Yeah, wow.
And so, I mean, wow. She was a child. She really didn't have a childhood because mm-hmm. she was helping to care for her mom.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, this is not just about you as an individual. It's about who else you can impact, who else you can help with this information.
Right. Absolutely. Because a lot of times, and I've heard it countless times throughout my career, from state to state, city to city, various demographics, a lot of time individuals just have no clue where to start.
Yeah, they don't know where to start.
No clue what to do, no clue where to start. And like you said, we want to be a resource for them and be able to give them some guidance and some direction, no matter what state they're in, no matter what city. Right. We can be a resource to anyone, even depending on your country, right? We can be a resource.
Seriously, absolutely. Can, yeah.
So they have to understand that there are steps to this. And even though this is their first time, it might be their first time going through it. This is their first parent who maybe their mom or their dad passed away and there wasn't really a process of them aging because they right. passed away from it. Just depends on the scenario. But there are so many resources, so many tools available to them. And they just have to look for those. And if they found your podcast, then this is a great place to start. And I'm sure you'll be able to give them more resources, and so will I as well.
Yeah, and we're happy to. And I know, like, for me, mm-hmm. that was my situation when my dad passed. Mm-hmm. It was very sudden.
Yeah.
He had cardiac arrest at a gas station. Someone, thank God to whoever this stranger is that gave my dad CPR.
Yeah.
And he never came back to. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
But I'm glad it was quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because my heart aches for people who are dealing with parents that they see going through dementia.
Yeah. It is very
and Alzheimer's.
Tough.
And that is not, that's not the same person that you knew.
Absolutely. And I'm sorry. Definitely. Many condolences. That's the thing about life. It can be so unpredictable. And we have no idea if or when or how things will happen.
Right.
But support groups for even when you're grieving the loss of a loved one, it's still important. That grief, especially depending on the relationship, that grief can linger for a long time.
Yeah.
And you can get healing from those situations when you actually be a resource. Maybe you're watching this podcast or listening to this podcast and you know someone who may be dealing with it and they confided in you and you didn't know what to tell them. Maybe you've never experienced it. Maybe send this link, send the podcast over to them and they can reach out. Well, they can probably learn a lot from this and then they can reach out and get some services and support. But definitely the journey, understanding too, because I've seen adult influencers sometimes get really overwhelmed, burnt out, frustrated, upset with caring with their aging loved ones. They need support. They need to understand that this is not something that mom or dad can control, even though sometimes it may seem like they're just being difficult.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten to their point yet, so we don't know exactly what they're feeling, and we need to give them a little grace. Because aging can be challenging. Aging can be difficult. Losing your ability to be fully independent, that now you almost might even view yourself as a burden, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That also brings up, you know, the mental health of older adults.
Yep.
A lot of older adults are very depressed. There's many studies and evidence-based because they feel like they're a burden. So even though sometimes it gets challenging, it gets really stressful, we want to try to be really intentional to not let them feel like a burden.
Yes.
Sometimes we have.
Because they say it.
Yeah.
They verbalize it. They may not say it to you.
Yeah.
But to anyone else like us that are asking them questions, yes, they will verbalize those exact words.
Yes.
I don't want to be a burden.
Absolutely. They say that all the time.
Yeah.
And it might, you might not tell them directly that they're inconveniencing you or it's a lot taking care of them, but your body language sometimes, it right, can get a little frustrating. So it just depends.
I'm so glad you said that about feeling like a burden.
Yeah.
Because so many people verbalize it. They feel like, I don't want to feel like I'm a burden.
Yeah.
Or
she has so much to
she's
do.
She's so busy.
She's busy
she's
at work.
So busy.
And her daughter's getting married. So she doesn't have time for, my granddaughter's getting married. So she's busy helping her with that. Or her husband is sick. He's battling something. Yeah, they feel like a burden very often.
Yeah. So however we can lighten that and make them feel seen and make them feel heard.
Absolutely.
And everything validated, their feelings validated. And ask them, just like you said, you know, not how are you doing? How are you eating? What are you eating? And even to what time are you eating? Because one of the things I've noticed for people who are moving from their home to a senior community,
mm-hmm,
you know, you have like your night owl eaters.
Mm-hmm.
You have your, I'm not eating until 9 p.m. And I'm used to that because I watch my show in front of the TV. I have my dinner.
Right.
Well, once you move into a community, dinner's at 4.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's an adjustment.
Yeah.
So that's another thing, too, is just remember that as you are helping your loved one go through these phases, it is truly like an end of an era for them.
Yeah. But let them be involved as much as possible. Sometimes when it's a tough love moment, but let them be involved. So hopefully, as long as their cognition is intact to mm-hmm, where they can understand that certain decisions have to be made, let them be involved, because even the state, when you look at state and federal regulations, when you look at, so I have a regulatory mind because I've done so much, so many audits and so many compliance checks, and I do tons of training, staff development, things like that. There are regulations on allowing preference, allowing them.
Ah.
So even when they move into communities, the state and federal regulatory bodies, they want to see that you are engaging them and allowing them to participate in their care planning. You're allowing them to be a part of their decision. So if they like to eat late, allow them to eat late.
Yeah.
Don't mandate because it's going to be an inconvenience on, like the state will say, don't mandate them to eat at 7 o'clock, or excuse me, at 5 o'clock, when they don't like to eat until, for example, 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Don't make the adjustments for them because that's the quality of life that they deserve. And so aging is a part, when you look at the growth and development, the life cycle, aging is a space in the life cycle, but it's the space that I believe we all want to avoid for various reasons. But I would say it's one of the most neglected spaces. And that's why I'm talking about the care planning and the advanced discussions, because it's an avoided space. But to have quality of life, you still have days, years, months, whatever you still have left. Every moment.
Maximize it.
Absolutely. Every moment can be or the remaining moments can be great moments.
Yeah.
You know, so it takes some buy-in. It takes some conversation. It takes an investment in researching and getting support and things like that. But life can be beautiful even to the very end.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of those things, you know, when you think of palliative care, of people who are sharing their stories or whatever it is, I think one of the beautiful things about life is that no matter what, we all want to feel love.
Yes.
And so when we are taking this proactive approach,
mm-hmm,
when your parents see that you are doing it out of love, that is truly out of, I respect you. I respect what plans you want to have. I respect the care that you want to receive. I respect when you're like, this is a situation I don't want to be around in.
Yeah.
You know, like, let me go, that you're doing it out of love.
Right. And doing it out of love, I believe that ultimately it will make the caregiver, that adult influencer, it will create a peace in them as well.
Totally agree.
Because you don't want the end to come and then you're filled with guilt because you didn't invest in those last days or years or moments.
Yeah.
And so it will give you a peace. It will give you a peace if, you know, God willing, if your time, they pass, or things, end of life occurs, it will give you a peace to know that you really tried to ensure that they had a quality of life that was to the very end.
Yeah. And speaking of love.
Oh.
Speaking of love. So you've been married a long time.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I have been.
And one of the things that we definitely associate with longevity is the fact of how you feel loved in this world. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a romantic love. I mean, it's just like your family, your friends, whatever,
yeah,
that you are experiencing love in some fashion. It helps you with your longevity.
Right.
So what advice would you give marriage-wise and love-wise to just stay in love and be in love and enjoy love?
Yeah. So specifically marriage-wise, yes. Right? Okay. So me and my husband, his name is Christopher or Chris. I only call him Christopher when he's a challenge. When he's a challenge, he's Christopher. But
I wish George's name was longer. So I'm like, George.
Right.
Giorgio.
Yeah. So with Chris, actually, we've seen so many relationships, countless relationships come and go. And really, so next year, we've been together for a very long time, but next year will make 15 years that we've been married. Aww. Yeah, and it's crazy to me. And one thing I realized, actually, I didn't realize to maybe 5 or so years in that marriage is actually really work. Yeah, it's really...
Such work.
It's really work. It's not just something that's going to naturally be a good thing.
Yeah.
You have to be very intentional. You have to put a lot of work in. And one thing that Chris and I have been very focused on for this last year, maybe two, because it takes work, right?
Yeah.
So one thing we've been very intentional on is nourishing and nurturing each other's love languages.
I love it.
Yeah. I really think for a relationship to stay healthy and happy, not just for you to stay together just because it's we can pay bills or
right,
you know, no, or like, you, so for you to actually be happy.
Yeah.
Okay. For you to be happy and have a happy, healthy marriage, I really believe that you need to nurture and nourish each other's love languages.
Yeah.
So you need to, first of all, know what your love language is and then know what your spouse or your loved one know what their love language is, because then you can target your efforts to do what is going to get you the most impact.
Yeah.
You know, if you know your partner's love language is physical touch, you can be intentional about touching him or her.
Go massage those shoulders.
Absolutely. Like for many years, we didn't really have we went through premarital counseling and we've been in marriage counseling before in our marriage. And I love marriage counseling too.
It's great.
I don't think it's something that you should just do premarital. I think it's something that
it's continuous because you change.
You change.
You're a different person.
You change and you can grow. And so for many years, I didn't realize that my husband's number one love language is physical touch.
Yeah.
His number one. So if I make it my obligation, like you said, even a simple massage.
Right.
Even, you know, anything just to rub him on the leg or pat his shoulder or we can go even deeper. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm intentional, especially when I see that he's had a long day or he's getting into a mood, I would say. I'm intentional about nourishing his love languages. He also really enjoys words of affirmation. So I'm intentional about saying positive, good things to him. It's really funny. I'll just say this really quick. I will intentionally, when he's doing something that would usually cause me to say something maybe a little not so nice, I will intentionally say something positive or something nice to him to kind of stroke his ego a little bit.
Yeah.
And you actually see a difference. You actually see the behavior change into a positive behavior. And ultimately, it helps the relationship continue to grow. So, yeah.
I love that so much. Thank you for spending time with us today as we talk about love and longevity. Heavy on the longevity today.
Yeah.
But we look forward to having you back.
Yeah.
And this was so great. How can people find you?
You can find me a little bit of everywhere. My Instagram, for example, is embracingbold_CEO. embracingbold_CEO. Or you can find me on LinkedIn at Lillian Creighton. And you can check out my website, www. NLCconsultants.com. I'm a little bit of everywhere. Christian will link some information
on how
to find me.
Yes, we'll have it all in the show notes.
And thanks so much for having me. This is awesome what you're doing, and you're such a light, and I'm so glad that you're aligning with all your purposes.
Thank you for joining us at Love and Longevity with Christian Ross. If you enjoyed what you heard, give us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to follow us. And if you like more from me, you can subscribe to the Happy Talks newsletter at the link in the show notes. Thanks for listening.